Welcome back to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Barbera, and in this episode, I wanted to cover how it is that you are supposed to wholesale a property, right? So how to wholesale a contract. I've been in real estate for 7 years now, I think, around there, 7, 8 years, I don't know. It's been a while, and ever since we've been in it, along with my business partner, we've wholesaled well over 100 properties. We've done a lot of wholesaling. It's exactly how we got started, and we've learned a lot along the way, right? A lot of do's and don'ts, and that's the whole point of the podcast, what we share with you guys and what we try to cover. Now, what I've been seeing is some things that people have been doing a little wrong. They're not paying attention. A lot of new wholesalers are coming into the market because, of course, it seems such an easy strategy to make quick money that they don't really think about it too much. So I wanted to kind of put this out there to hopefully help some of you guys out and share some of our experiences. So wholesaling, you're not wholesaling a property to start with, right? What you're really doing is wholesaling a contract. You are wholesaling your equitable rights that you negotiated with a seller to a buyer. You're negotiating that contract that you negotiated with the seller that you're going to buy their house for this price, closer to this terms, you know, this time frame, all the things that go into the trek. And then you're wholesaling, you're assigning that contract to your end buyer. Right? But it's not the house that you're selling. You're selling your rights to the contract. The only time you're actually wholesaling a house is when you own the house. It's yours. You bought it. And then you're selling it at a wholesale price, right? So whatever market value is, you're selling it below market value. So that the reason I want to clarify that is because there's a lot of people that they say, oh yeah, I wholesale properties. I'm a wholesaler and wholesaling is great, but what they're actually talking about is that they're buying houses. They bought houses years ago, when in areas that were depressed and everything, and now they're selling it at wholesale prices. But they're right. They are wholesaling those properties. The thing is that a lot of people get confused because then you talk to these people and they're like, yeah, I'm a wholesale houses for no less than 30, 40, 50 grand. I'm like, well, yes, because you bought it years ago, you held on to it, and now you're able to sell it at a much higher appreciation. But when you're assigning a contract, that is not always a very normal profit to make when you're assigning it, right? And of course, this depends where you are in the U.S., but here in Texas, in San Antonio, it's not typical to wholesale every property you have for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. They do come, but they're not your everyday wholesale fee, right? So I wanted to just clarify that you're wholesaling a contract, not the actual property. When you're looking to wholesale a property, when you first get it under contract that you're going to wholesale it, in the original contract, and we did one on the contracts that we use. So in your original contract, the TREC, if you're in Texas, or whichever one is your purchase agreement contract, write in and or signs after your name. Now, when I first started wholesaling in New York, I used to do this a lot because that was part of the training that I had bought into, and they were talking about the and or signs. Then when I came down to Texas, I spoke to an attorney that he says if in the contract that you're signing, in the TREC, it doesn't say it cannot be assigned, therefore it can be assigned, okay? So this is from an attorney. Attorneys, you know, they know how to fight shit, and that's all they do. But what it has happened, and what I did for a very long time, was just write in my name. I like that because I was like, it makes it easier, in my opinion, to sell to a homeowner when I'm signing my name and not and or signs and all these other things. It's just I'm signing my name or my entity, so they're looking at it like, yeah, I'm the one buying it, right? There's no any extra shady stuff or anything going on in there. So it worked great, and I used it, you know, to my advantage on that. But as the market gets hot and as things get hot, it can open you up to problems if you don't do it, right? You could always have a seller come back to you later and say, hey, I didn't know that he was going to sell it to somebody else for more money. You know, I want to sue him because that money should have been mine, or whatever it is. And I'm not saying they're in the right, but what I am saying is that it's going to cost you money to defend yourself, even if you're in the right. So instead of going through all that, just put it in there. It's better to be safe than sorry later on. And as the market gets hot, you know, lawsuits and litigations and shit like that is going to come up a lot more frequently. So just protect yourself. If you're going to be doing a lot of wholesaling, just put in and/or signs. I'll be honest with you. Once I got comfortable, I would tell people that I may not be the one buying the house, right? But I'm the person that's going to get it done. And this is at the price that it needs to get done at. So a variation of that, but that was pretty much what I told everybody. So this always left the door open so I can bring in buyers. I can bring in contractors. I could always bring in people to the house. Because a lot of wholesalers, they kind of talk themselves into a corner where now, and I've dealt with wholesalers where they're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to be able to show this house because, you know, they think I'm the one buying it. So it kind of helps to just be straight up and be honest with them where you're like, look, I really want this house. I'm going to make it work. Just in case, I do have a couple friends that buy in this area too that I'm going to show them the house because maybe there's a chance that I can get you a little more money for it. You know, if you tell them I can get you a little, maybe I can get you a little more money for it, they'll pretty much go ahead and be like, yes, bring whoever you want. So, you know, are you going to get them more money? That's up to you. You can get them more. You can make more. That's all up to you. Adam, not here to judge. So the biggest thing is, where do you get these agreements? So a lot of people don't know where to find wholesale agreements. Google, honestly, a wholesale agreement, there isn't like a standard wholesale agreement like there are purchase agreements, like there are other ones, right? There's no standard wholesale agreement. A wholesale agreement, an assignment of contract agreement, whatever you want to call it, is pretty much a very custom agreement that's between you and your buyer and something that the title company needs to be okay with executing and have enough information in there for them to execute that whatever you guys want, right? So you can Google it, get sample agreements, modify them, figure it out. Or what you can do is a lot of people have wholesale agreements from guru training that they've bought. A lot of gurus that they teach wholesaling and stuff like that, they'll usually provide an assignment of contract agreement. You can use that one. Or you can do what we did, and you could just have your attorney draft you up kind of like a boilerplate template, right? So we have this one right here, if you're watching on YouTube or on our website. I can't share this one with you guys because it was made by our attorney for us. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't spoken to him about it, but I don't know if there's going to be any issues if I do share it with you guys or not. I will speak to him. If there isn't, I'll upload it. And if it's kind of on the questionable side, I don't want you guys to get in trouble or for us to get in trouble. So this is one that we actually used recently. I blocked out some of the names of the people that we did the business with. But it's very simple assignment. It's even the name of it is Assignment of Option for Purchase of Real Estate. And it states who the assignor is, right? So who's the person assigning the property? So on this in this case, it was somebody else that was assigning the piece of land to us. Who the assignee is, which is us in here in this contract. It talks about that all the rights and everything that was agreed between the assignor, that person, the wholesaler, or you if you're the wholesaler, and your seller is being assigned to us. So all of your rights, all your terms, everything that you talked about is being assigned to us. We have all the same rights that you agreed to with the seller. Then it has legal description, the property address, and it has further that, you know, we're accepting all the rights, everything that you agreed to. We're assuming everything that you as the wholesaler are not liable for anything after our acceptance of this. It says how much you're going to get paid and when you're going to get paid. That is very important. We're going to address that as well. So, and then at the bottom, initial signatures in the back, and that's pretty much it. I mean, again, simple, straight to the point. What you want to do is, what we do a lot of times with our assignment contracts and when we do stuff like this, is we speak to our title company. We speak to our attorneys first, and we tell them, hey, we're going to buy this property, wholesale this property. Here are the terms. Here's everything. Is there any particular language that you feel I'm missing? Title companies and attorneys are always willing to help you because they want to make sure the transaction goes through smoothly. They don't want any problems. So they want to make sure that if you're missing any language, anything, that it is in there. This way, again, it goes through smoothly. So don't do this on your own. You don't have to. You can always reach out to your title company or to your attorney and tell them exactly, hey, this is what we're doing. These are the terms. This is everything. This is the contract I'm using. It says blah, 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 blah. Is there anything I'm missing? And they're going to tell you, yes, no, add this, do this. And I'm going to go over one of the examples that they recently gave us. So you find your contract. You either had it created, you downloaded it from Google, you got it from a guru. Now you got to set your price, right? So you got your purchase contract with the seller. You have now you got to figure out how are you going to wholesale this, right? How are you going to sign this contract? So you have two ways. One, you want to net out a cash amount, right? So a lot of times wholesalers negotiate a contract where buyer pays all closing costs, right? It is just something that a lot of gurus teach, and people don't understand that it's a negotiation tactic, not a standard of operation, right? There's a lot of wholesalers, especially new ones, that they just automatically throw that in there, regardless if the homeowner is getting a boatload of money or not. And the buyer ends up paying all closing costs. So it's a negotiation tactic. It's not a standard of operation. Don't make it, you know, that every contract the buyer needs to pay all closing costs. Doesn't work that way, all right? And nor should it. Just if the homeowner is getting paid a good chunk of money, split the closing costs. Everybody pays their own. It helps out the buyer. But in that case, you want to be very, very clear with your buyer what the terms are of the contract. When is closing? When are the tenants staying there? Is there a lease back in place because the tenants are staying there? Does the homeowner have a tenant? You know, because now you're going to inherit that tenant. So all of these things need to be addressed with the buyer. Don't hide anything from the buyer, because if the buyer finds out later, he's going to blow up your deal. And it's going to piss off the seller. It's going to piss off everybody. It's going to piss off title, because then the deal got blown up, but now you got to go and start over if the seller even wants to continue. So don't hide anything. Don't, you know, be very, very transparent, be very clear, and work with the buyer throughout the process. Now, when you're setting your price, again, you got to choose which way you want to go. So if you want to go ahead and say, no, I want to net 10 grand. Whatever it is, whatever that number is, you got to make sure to add that into the assignment contract, into the vocabulary, right? So you want to make sure that you put on here that the assignor is to net $10,000 from this transaction. So pretty much the way we wrote it down was assignor or your name to net $10,000 upon closing of the property, upon closing, okay? What this means is, what this is doing for you is that if there are closing costs, fees, or anything else associated with the transaction, the buyer pays for all that. You walk away with 10 grand no matter what, right? So your 10 grand are always protected. So you want to make sure you have that in the vocabulary. You don't want to go ahead and just say, yeah, I'm selling the house for 105. This is a recent example, you know, and buyer pays all closing costs or whatever. And then there's a bit of a confusion there. It's like, Is the buyer buying it at 105 and then paying closing costs, or is the buyer buying it at 105 including closing costs? So you want to be specific. You want to be very, very deliberate and say, hey, it's 105 plus closing costs, or it's 105 including closing costs. So whatever it is, the best way to do it is just say, assignor, you, the wholesaler, is going to net X amount of money, and the buyer pays the remaining balance, period. That's going to be the best way. Again, go to your title company, see what it is that they want, how they want it said. The other way is the way that we wholesale all of our properties. The way we wholesale our properties is we negotiate a really good price and a really good terms with the seller first, right? So we make sure that that we're meeting their needs, whatever the homeowner needs, the price that they need, everything that they need. Then we go ahead and we look at where does that property make sense at on the buyer side. So when we look at it and we say, like, on this property, hey, you know, the buyer is going to be all in it at 105, that needs to include closing costs and everything else, right? Because the deal makes sense at 105, not 107.5, not whatever the extra closing costs and everything else is. It makes sense at 105. So what we do at that point is we execute a contract where it's assignment fee to be the difference between the contract price and terms and whatever the price is. So in that situation, let's say we have it on the contract for 95 grand and the buyer is going to buy it for 105, then it would say all that, the assignment fee to be the difference between the contract price and terms and the 105. So it's that difference between the 95, the 105 minus all the closing fees. That's what our fee is going to be, whatever that means, right? If it's 7 grand, 8 grand, whatever it is, that is our fee. And that's how we've wholesaled all of our properties. It's easy for us, and it makes sure that the buyer is always, if we tell the buyer they're buying it at 105, they're buying it at 105. We don't want to be, and not that wholesalers do this in a bad way, it's just they don't know any better. They assume, everybody assumes that, you know, this person should know better, that person should know better. Don't assume shit. I always told you, don't assume anything. Make sure they know. You understand? Make sure it's like, hey, you're buying at a 105, but that also includes closing costs. Or it's 105 plus closing costs. You got to be specific. You got to be deliberate and just let them know so there's no more surprises, because again, that can mean thousands of dollars extra and that could literally blow up the deal. So make sure that that wording is in there. You assign the contract, you have a buyer lined up, everything's ready to go. Don't walk away from the deal. The deal's not closed yet, all right? Stay with the deal. Stay with title. Make sure everything is getting done. Make sure title has everything from you, everything from your buyer. Make sure your buyer is ready to go. Their funding is in place. Everything is in place. Make sure your seller's ready to go, whether they're ready to move out when the property closes. Are they ready to close on whatever date the closing is? Are they prepared? Stay with the deal. Stay with the property. After all, you are the person that's connecting both sides. So stay with the property. There's so many times that we come across wholesalers that as soon as they assign it, they're MIA. They leave. To them, it's like, my job's done. The buyer needs to figure it out now. No, you're the one that build the rapport with the seller. If there's any problems, anything, you still need to stay with the deal. So just because you assign it, it's not over until it's closed and funded. So until then, stay with the deal. Now, you have a house that has a big spread on it, right? And you're not too comfortable with wholesaling this because you don't feel that somebody's going to be okay with that kind of spread. There's been a lot of times that somebody is wholesaling. We've bought houses from somebody that wholesaled it to us. They made 25 grand. And after we flipped it, we made 20. So they made more than us on a wholesale deal. I don't care. I don't give a damn. Because it still met my numbers. You understand? My risk exposure, everything that I had, it still met it. So I don't care how much you make. But there are a lot of buyers, and we've dealt with them, that do care. If you make anything over 15 grand, 20 grand, at least here in Texas, people start getting a little uncomfortable that you're making so much money. Why? Because, I don't know, they're naturally greedy. I don't know what the hell their issue is. To me, if the numbers make sense, they make sense. But in this case, you know, we've done it with a property that we made, I think it was like over 50 grand. It was, did a couple months back. It was a good wholesale deal, right? But we knew that somebody would have a problem with paying us a $50,000 assignment fee. So your option here is to do a double close or simultaneous close or back-to-back close, whatever lingo you want to use for it. All this is that you close with the seller and then you close with the buyer. So the buyer doesn't need to know what you bought it for. They're buying it directly from you. Right? So if you set a price, this is the price. There's no assignment fee. There's nothing. You're buying it from me. I own the house. Right? At that point, there's a purchase contract with the buyer. There's a purchase contract with the seller. You are the buyer in this scenario, in the A to B, and then you are the seller in the B to C scenario. Okay? Now, there's two ways of doing this. You have a dry close and a wet close. A dry close simply means that you do the closing on the same day, and the seller gets paid with the funds from your buyer, and you make the spread in the middle, right? That's a dry close. Not many title companies either know how to do it or are comfortable with doing this. So make sure you go around, ask your title company, speak to your attorneys, who is comfortable with doing a dry close? Can they handle it? Will it work? Figure it out. You do that before you even proceed with trying to do something like this. Or a wet close, which is frankly the opposite, that you have to buy the house. So you have to have the funds with you to purchase the home from the seller, and then you can sell it to your buyer. You need the money. So whether that's your own money or you borrow it, or you can use what is called transactional funds. Transactional funding is just for that. It's just for a transaction, right? So they'll let you borrow for a day or so, just enough for you to buy it from the seller and sell it to the buyer, and that's it, right? This way, nobody knows anything. Now, you are going to incur extra fees because you're doing two closings, right? So you're closing it here and you're closing it here. There's extra fees there. But usually when the spread is so big, you're not really going to care, right? Because you're making a lot of money on it, so you're willing to spend that extra money. So that is a very good way of doing it when you have yourself a nice wholesale deal that's just, you know, has a good spread on it. And you don't want to have to be going through the hassle of, you know, pissing the buyer off or having them trying to beat you down on the price because they know you're making so much. Another thing I wanted to cover before we end is when we buy properties from wholesalers, once we agree to on a price and we say, yes, we're going to buy for this price, we're good, we like the property, everything, we sign the assignment agreement and we're all good to go, give me the contracts. We always ask for all the contracts. I want to make sure that you filled everything out correctly. I want to make sure that there aren't any terms or anything in there that you forgot or didn't realize you didn't sign or have them sign or didn't get filled out or whatever it may be. You understand? If you're a seasoned wholesaler and we've done a lot of business together, I usually don't ask for this. But when I'm dealing with new wholesalers or people that I haven't done business with, I like asking for my contracts. You understand? Because I want to make sure that nothing has been screwed up. And a lot of wholesalers, oh, it's already a title. Everything is good. I don't trust title either. There's been countless times where title has screwed up because they have so many properties that they're dealing with that sometimes things get overlooked. And let's say what it is. At the end of the day, I'm the one that's going to be stuck with the property. So nobody's going to care more about what's going to happen than me. You understand? Not title, not you. So it's okay if somebody's asking you for the contract. It's also okay to have your assignment agreement signed and everything signed up front, right? Because then what happens, the reason a lot of wholesalers don't like doing this is because they're looking at it like, man, they're going to see what I got it on the contract for. They're going to see that anyway at some point. It should not matter if you're dealing with a good buyer. You understand? I helped a wholesaler wholesale me a property because they didn't know how to close it at the time. So I helped them close it, do everything, wholesale me a house, and I paid them 25 grand for that house. I walked them through the process, and I pretty much structured the wholesale fee and everything for them. And then I was like, shit, you know what? Even at that wholesale fee, I'm still willing to buy it. You understand? It still makes sense for me. And I bought that property. So some buyers don't care. Some buyers do. But I always want to see the contracts. I always want to make sure that everything has been done. So if somebody is approaching you that way and they're telling you, hey, I want to see the contract, sure. Here's the assignment fee. Do you agree with it? Do you like the house? Everything is good. Everything that I explained to you is good. Yes. Okay. Sign the assignment fee, assignment agreement. We're good. Now here's the contract. You can review it all you want. You understand? They could always back out. Of course. I mean, that's just what it is. They can always back out. I hope at this point you've done enough due diligence where you've picked out your buyers. I mean, I've never had buyers back out of any contracts with us. Because we educate them, we teach them, we show them. We're always very transparent. There are never really any surprises, and we can fix whatever problems arise. So that's the last little tip. So I hope this helps. And when you're wholesaling, I hope you keep all these things in mind. Again, check the show notes for all the other information I put on there. And if you have any questions, always reach out. And before we end, once more, the Black Sheep Open, September 14th. We are damn near sold out on golfers. So if you want to play, make sure you sign up. Go to blacksheepopen.com and sign up. All the proceeds go to support Homes for Our Troops. So you support our vets. They do so much for us. Come out, support them that day. I mean, it's a ton of fun, a lot of games, a lot of sponsors, a lot of prizes, food, drinks, networking, a lot of great networking. If you like all the content in this podcast and everything, you're going to meet a lot of people that are going to help you within your business, a lot of sponsors, a lot of giveaways. It's a blast. It's a hell of a good time. So check it out, blacksheepopen.com. And again, share the podcast, share it with anybody that you guys think could use this, could use the help. And if you have any questions, always reach out to me. I'm always here to help you guys out. So I appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoy it. And I will catch you guys on the next one.